In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching. This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. Today we have a guest, and that's kind of unusual because we don't usually have guests. But today we have with us John Papirio, and we're going to be speaking about young life. And one of their sayings, I love it, every kid, everywhere, for eternity. Every kid, everywhere, for eternity. One more time. Every kid, everywhere, for eternity. John, tell us about Young Life, and because I've just come to learn about it in the last several months, but I'm sure most people have no idea what you're doing and what's happening and how God has moved, because God is moving.
Well, Young Life is an international mission that's been around now for about 65 years. It was started in Texas when a pastor observed kids playing in a playground who were not attending church. And he was given the mission of reaching those kids. And for 65 years, we've been working to bring Jesus to kids, to go where they hang out, to become their friend, to earn the right to preach the gospel, to live it out, to model it to these kids, and then to help them to grow in their faith. We've been working in the local area now for, depending on where you are around Boston, maybe up to 35 years, where we've been in the schools hanging out with kids, sending leaders who volunteer their time 12, 15 hours a week to hang out with kids, to care about them, to affirm them for who they are, not just what they achieve or their success or just because they're A students or great athletes, but to hang out them and affirm them because they're created by God, because they have value for who they are and who made them, and to bring them the good news of the gospel.
The gospel is for children. The gospel is for old men. The gospel is for young women. The gospel is for everyone. And you know, the wonderful thing about the gospel is you can be preaching, and a child who is 3 can understand it even more than a woman who is 33. It takes the Holy Spirit to open the heart. And you know, there are children that have given their lives to the Lord, and their parents, like my parents, were not Christian. They were Catholic, but they weren't living the Christian life. And, you know, my heart was opened to God because of the great need that I had. I could not have verbalized it at that time, but there was a need in me that only Jesus Christ could fill. And, you know, I had the grace of bringing my parents to the Lord before they died and way before they died. And but the point of the matter is children are open to the gospel. And they need to be loved. They need to be cared for, and they need models. And no model is going to be perfect, but they need models that they can say, you know, this person really cares for me. This person is living a life that's Christian. You know, this is what kids need. It's what kids need. It's what everybody needs. But children especially, because we live in a world of materialism where we call it the kingdom of thingdom, and we leave out what the children, what the adults need most, and that's a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes, the kids are desperate for adults in their life to love them and care about them. The kids now have more leisure time, unsupervised time, than any time in the history of our culture. But we have really abandoned our kids because of our need to achieve and have success ourselves. So we've created a culture of desperation where kids are left on their own to try to figure out who they are, figure out if they matter, if their choices matter, and to figure out if they really belong. And they're not equipped to do that. kids cannot make those decisions or figure that out on their own. And it's no surprise that they start to turn more than ever before to alcohol and drugs and sex and things to fill their life because they're desperate. They want so much to be filled. They want so much to be affirmed for who they are, not what they achieve. They want to be accepted. They want to belong somewhere. And years ago, you belonged just because of who you were and what family you came from, but that's not true anymore. Now, it's a matter of you belong if you are able to achieve and succeed. And so we put these kids on a trajectory where they have to get good grades, they have to get into a great college, they have to then make a lot of money, and then guess what? You can have all these things and you'll be happy and successful, and they look around them and they go, well, my parents aren't happy. These adults in my life aren't happy. Everyone's miserable. And that's hopeless. It's a hopeless place. And so why should we be surprised when out of that hopelessness they turn to other things to fill their life? They need us. They need adults to finally say, you know what? This is about them. It's about me spending time with them. I think love now more than ever before is spelled T-I-M-E.
Hallelujah.
Yes, kids don't want quality time. They want quantity. They want adults in their life to show, I care about you. I want to be with you because it's just great to be with you. And so there's this urgency to reach kids. They desperately need to know Jesus, their only hope. And we have that privilege of bringing the good news. It's not easy. Kids are suspicious of adults now in their world because we come with an agenda. We come with a program that we've created that's going to make us look good, or that we can pat ourselves on the back and say, hey, look what we've done and what we've accomplished and what we've made these kids do. They've realized that we come with these agendas, and all they have to do is jump through the hoops and they'll be affirmed for that. And they're tired of playing the game. They want us to just care for them and be with them, listen to what they have to say. I think too many people think that kids have always been jerks and it's their fault, but it's really our fault. We've created this culture and now we need to deal with it. We need to step up to the plate and we need to realize that the only hope is if we're willing to spend time with them, to hang out with them, to care for them, to love them the way that Jesus loves us, to flesh out the gospel, because the words are empty because they've not experienced it. We have to allow them to experience that love for the first time. And then when they hear the words and of Jesus' great sacrifice, it will connect with their hearts.
This word of time, you know, time to be with, time to be with, you know? I remember the first time that I experienced that, and it was in 1984, and there were some young men from Steubenville, and they were with me, and they said, you know, Father Tom, we want to spend time with you. And you know, I had never heard that in my life. I had preached, I had done things, I had used by God, and the church, and but I never had anyone say to me, I want to spend time with you. And it kind of opened my heart to an area that was never opened before, that I was valued. I want to spend time with you. And you know what? That is so important. Again, imagine 1984. I'll tell you how old I was. I was 37, I believe, before I heard that. 37 years old. The little child within me crying out. Who will spend time with me? Not because of what I do. Not because of who I am. Not even because of who I represent. But who will spend time with me? That's interesting. Do you spend time with your children? Do you spend time with your nephews? Maybe you have no children, but nephews, nieces, you know, godparents, spending time, not only buying things, spending time, going to the ocean, looking at the beautiful ocean with all the diamonds jumping up and down when the sun shines on it. Spending time. No, time doesn't mean money. Time means you.
That's right. We all have. That's the one thing we have is time. But the one thing that we will give our hold most selfishly. I mean, we'll write a check. We'll start a program. We'll build a building. But we won't spend time because we're too busy doing our own thing and achieving and trying to be a success, to be someone in this world. We forget who we are and who made us and who we belong to. We have countless stories of leaders who work very hard. It's not easy. The soil's rocky. They go, they hang out with kids. There's a lot of rejection. Kids are suspicious at first. But when they see that there's a consistency, because that's the one thing that's lacking in their life is a consistency. Relationships are more like revolving doors in their life. There's so many broken relationships, people that they thought they could count on, that have walked out on them, that have let them down. And so they're suspicious, and they wait to see, will you be there tomorrow? And how about tomorrow after that? And then the next day? And what about if I make a bad decision? Will you still love me? Will you still care about me? Will you still show up? If I really get in trouble and I have to go to court, will you go with me? Will you stand beside me? Will you still be my friend? And after a while, that begins to connect with their heart when these leaders go back. I mean, I can think of one girl, I'll call her Teresa, just to protect her name, who came from a culture where girls aren't valued. She had a younger brother who was treated like a king, but she was forced to sleep in a basement because she was not valued. She was, and a leader just came around, got to know her, learned her name, started to call her by name, started to have conversations with her, invited her to do some things, eventually brought her to camp, and she felt for the first time in her life that someone really cared for her and valued her, and it changed her whole life. And she made a decision for Christ, to put Jesus at the center of her life, and it transformed her, and she was then able to forgive her parents. Imagine being a young girl that was slept on a concrete floor in a basement with a mattress, and she was able, because of the love of Christ in her, to forgive her parents and start to love them and obey them and honor them as her parents. And it began to transform her parents as well and her family. And that's the amazing love of Christ, that when we can connect with a kid and Christ transforms their life, their family begins to be transformed and things change in that family one by one. It's a sibling, it's a father, it's a mother that come to the point of making a decision for Christ, and their life is transformed and their world is different, and now there's an eternal significance and impact that's made. It's really incredible to watch when you're willing to spend the time and go the distance and not be discouraged by the rejection.
And you see, the whole thing has to do with the cross, because Jesus sacrificed himself. You know, love is sacrifice. Love is not some sloppy agape of feeling good stuff. Love is sacrifice. If there is no sacrifice in love, there is no love. There is no love. It's all a bunch of garbage. It's the stuff that Oprah talks about. Love. When there is no sacrifice, there is no love. Another word for love is sacrifice. To go, to do the extra, to give myself, to offer my heart, you see, to offer my heart. You see, I know what it is to offer my heart to people. And I'm going to tell you why even adults are afraid to do that. Because their heart has been stomped on. But you know what? I'm going to continue to offer my heart. Because if I don't offer my heart, I don't offer anything. If I just give words and I don't put up myself sacrificially in union with Jesus, it's just a joke. It's just a business. I'm not involved in a business. The church should not be involved in a business. God so loved the world that he gave his only son. And I'm telling you that if we do not give of ourselves, of our heart, of our means, of our talent, of our blood, and of our sweat, we're not living the Christian life. We just accepted Jesus. You know, I accepted Jesus. Oh, I've been baptized. Give me a break. Live it out. Live it out. Just live it out, for heaven's sake. For heaven's sake, live it out.
I agree, Father Tom. Romans 12 tells us to offer our bodies as living sacrifices, and I think that especially in America and the culture we live in, it's a culture of immediate gratification. We think about return on investment. If I spend a minute, what am I going to get in return? What's in it for me? And we really have no sense of what it means to sacrifice. And the minute things get tough, we throw in the towel. And I think that's more true of the way we treat our children, that we just have given up. And we'll lose the battle. I guarantee we will lose if we give up. If the adults don't make a decision that kids are more important than anything else that we could do, then we're going to lose them. Their eternity is at stake. They're walking around now spiritually dead. Some of them don't even have any concept of God. Whatever their concept of God is, if they have one, it's just this crazy view that the world has pushed down their throat. They're not allowed to learn about God in school anymore. We've pushed God and Jesus out of our culture. And where are they going to get that from? Who's going to bring them that news? Who's going to tell them about Jesus? We have to be the ones who go. And it's going to be hard. And Jesus said that we would be persecuted and that we would face hardship. He told us that because he wanted us to be ready, to be prepared. And he said he would give us a helper, the Holy Spirit, to allow us to do that, that we have the power. We do live in a victorious, triumphal procession with Christ leading the way. And it's not a funeral. This is a parade that we get to be a part of because God has chosen us and called us to be a part of it. And he wants to use us. And we just have to make that decision that we want to be used and we want to sacrifice and that we're willing to go all the way. Jesus went all the way to the cross, and we have to have the same attitude, that I will literally lay down my life if I need to. Because it matters eternally. It's not about this life, it's about eternal life.
And eternal life is this: to know you, the one true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. But if my life is not congruent, at least a little, I can talk about the Heavenly Father and Jesus, and it's just a whole lot of words. And you know, words don't mean anything. I tell you what means something. When you tell a child, I'm going to be there, and you're there. You know, how many fathers are listening to me in split homes, and you've told your children, I'm going to be there, and you weren't there. Now there's forgiveness, but you don't do it again. You don't do it again. When you say, I'm going to be there, then you're there. How many mothers in split homes have not seen their children? I'm going to be there. And they wait. And they get disappointed. Disappointed. I know you weren't mothered and you weren't fathered either. You know what? It's time to grow up. The whole bunch of us. It's time to just grow up and just say, okay, I haven't been fathered. I haven't been mothered. I haven't been this. I haven't been that. But you know what? I'm going to do the best I can. I'm going to ask the Lord to help me, teach me. I can't do it by myself. There's no replacement for a mother or a father. And yet, when people, they don't even eat together anymore. We've got the boob tube. We've got computers. We don't even communicate. There's no communication. We don't know what's happening anymore with our children. My friends, if we lose this generation, I'm going to tell you, everything is lost. We've lost three generations already. This generation is one of the most important generations that needs to be given to Christ. Benedict XVI has just spoken about the power of the Holy Spirit, Acts 1:8, that is so necessary for young people, that we are to reach out with the power of the Holy Spirit. You shall receive power, after that the Holy Spirit shall come upon me. You shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and all the ends of the earth. But my friends, if we're just going to just, you know, go piddle around. Yeah, go on a Friday night and go watch in the malls what you see. These children should be home. You know what we used to do on a Friday night when I was a kid? We used to go to the chicken house, and we used to go get a chicken and for Sunday, and they would pluck the feathers. You might say, that was boring. It might be boring, but I was with my parents. My brother was with our parents. That's what we used to do a little. Then the stupid DeSoto wouldn't start. Then we'd have to get a jump. Oh, I remember those things. But we were with our parents. It's so important to be with your parents. And for those who have no parents, listen, I'm all for dogs. But you know what? Why don't you invest in a child? Now people don't have babies, they have puppies. And then they name them Frankie. Don't you dare name a dog a person's name. Call him Spot. Call him this, call him that. Don't call him Frankie. He's not Frankie. But you see, we've replaced dogs instead of children. You know why? Because we're, and I'm not talking about people who can't have children, because we're so selfish. We're so selfish. If you could tell me about this generation, we've learned how to care. I did it my way. And that's what they're singing in four-part harmony in hell.
We ask kids, many of the kids that we work with, if they have dinner with their family, and it's pretty amazing that a lot of the kids will say, I have never eaten dinner with my family. We never eat as a family. Not once in their lifetime have they ever experienced sitting around a table breaking bread with their family. And so I wonder, why are we so surprised that these kids are acting out and behaving the way that they are? We're just too busy programming their lives and programming our lives for something that all burns up in the end, that doesn't make any difference. And we tell kids, and we try to tell adults, that what do you want to live for? What type of a legacy do you want to leave? What do you want your life to count for? Who are you living for? Are you living for Jesus and for eternity? Or are you living to just get everything you can and to make a name for yourself and to get all the pats on the back that you can get? And that's what we're teaching our kids. And that's what they're doing. And they're not happy. They're still broken. They're turning into adults that don't know who they are, that don't know what they belong to, that still can't figure out life. And that's what they teach to their children. And so we're raising generation after generation that is incapable of loving, that doesn't know Christ, that doesn't know the power and the transforming power of Christ, because we're too afraid, not just to tell them, but to really spend time and live it out. And I think that's it more than anything. We need to live the gospel out. We need to love people sacrificially. We need to spend time. We need to forget about our agenda and take time the way Jesus did. It's amazing, even Jesus on on the way to Jerusalem to go to the cross, stopped for Bartimaeus. I don't know how long that conversation may have been. It might have been hours where he talked about his life and he loved Bartimaeus and he restored his sight. He could have said, you know what, I'm too busy. I'm on the way to the cross. It's the most important thing in eternity. But he stopped. And I think what a great example to us. There's nothing too important that we're involved in to not stop and love someone the way that Jesus loves us. And I think it's that simple, but we have to make the decision to spend the time, especially with kids. They need us so much.
And then it says, and Bartimaeus followed him up the road to Jerusalem. Was he there on that Good Friday? I wouldn't doubt it. Doesn't take much, just a little love. If people are interested in becoming not only a supporter, but maybe to spend time with young people, what would you say to them? Give them an address or a telephone number.
They can look at our website at younglife.org. They can call me at 508-668-3508.
508-668-3508. 508-668-3508. 508-668-3508. 508. I know that people take a long time to find pencils. 508-668-3508. And if they would like to make a contribution,
They can call us and we will lead them in the right direction.
508-668-3508. I do thank you for listening today. Pray for our young people, because you know what? They start being sexually active in the third and fourth grade. Drugs in the third and fourth grade. My friends, it's time for us to take the bull by the horns and to begin to love like Jesus loved. I need to hear from you too. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Come, Holy Spirit. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.